as we welcome into the show our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence, the reigning two-time Rhode Island Sportscaster of the Year. Nick, how are you?
I'm great, Rich. Thank you for the lovely introduction, as always.
What's going on in your world? Every time I see you, you're covering some incredible event. Boy, what a tough job. I feel for you, buddy.
No, my job stinks. It's terrible. It's awful. I get to go different places and see things. It's just horrible, you know? It's great. Everything's awesome. The Rhode Island scene for sports is, it never slows down. It's always booming, and it's funny. I was just in a meeting with my news director at the station. She said, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. We're already planning for the next thing, and we're planning for the spring. And, you know, we just wrapped up basketball last night. Our women's basketball team at Providence College got knocked out of the WNIT, and now I was just, you caught me at a perfect time. I'm just leaving Bryant University for their baseball game this afternoon. So it's funny. Everything's always booming around here. So it's great.
Well, that's awesome. Well, let's start with the Patriots and the big news this week, the retirement of Rob Gronkowski. Are you in my camp and saying good for Gronk and please don't come back?
Yes, I am. I haven't really even, I know that the thought was entertained by Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, but to me, you know, I think Gronk has nothing left to prove. You know, he had his 9 seasons, he got his 3 Super Bowl rings, he accomplished all that he accomplished. It's just, you know, when I looked at him the last couple of training camps, Rich, he was just, I used to call him the bionic man, because every time he stepped out on the field for training camp every year, he had a new brace on a new limb. You know, he was like the Darth Vader of football. It was like everything was covered because he had either hurt it or injured it or whatever. And so at this point, he had a wonderful career. We loved watching Rob Gronkowski play here in New England. But, you know, nothing left to prove. So go enjoy, you know, wrestling in the WWE or Hollywood or whatever he does next, because, you know, he was fabulous here, and I think that's where we should leave it.
I agree with you completely on that, and you can't replace a guy like Gronk, who is in many ways a once-in-a-lifetime type of player, but the Patriots aren't surprised by this, I'm sure. What direction will they go? Because you're not going to find a guy who can do everything that Gronk could do.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think maybe we got a hint of it with drafting Sony Michel last year. Maybe they rely a little bit more on the running game now and those running backs, because as much as people want to, you know, freak out about the fact that Gronk is around and the wide receiver position is pretty thin after Julian Edelman, you do have a lot of talent at running back. You know, James White is still slouch. I mean, James White is a huge part of the offense, and you still have Edelman. So as much as people want, you know, multiple weapons and a dynamic offense, there's still a lot of time here. So, you know, it sounds like the Patriots are trying to add a wide receiver. They've gone in a number of different directions so far. You know, Mike Giardi tweeted out today from NFL Network that they've been in on everything. They've been on it on Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. And they're exploring all avenues here. It hasn't worked out so far, but there's still plenty of time in the offseason. And hey, you know, drafting a wide receiver or two, that would be an interesting direction to go too, because, you know, having some young talent there and seeing what it can do with Tom Brady, whether it's a high draft pick, a first, second round, something like that, that interests me. I'd love to see some youth there and some talent, some speed, something different. So we'll see.
Nick, do you think there's any way that Robert Kraft avoids some kind of suspension?
No, I don't think he'll avoid. I don't think he'll avoid penalty. Maybe it's smaller than some think. Listening to Roger Goodell yesterday, it sounded like they're really being careful and cautious with this, because they don't want to jump to anything yet, because it's going to go through the judicial system. But something happened there. He deserves some sort of penalty, some sort of punishment, some sort of consequence. So I don't think he avoids it, but what it is and how long, how many games, whatever it may be, that'll obviously, you know, we'll find that out somewhere down the road. But it is interesting that he's going the route of fighting this in court, and his lawyers are telling him to fight this and not take the, you know, the offer or the plea deal that's there. So he'll have some sort of consequence. We'll see what it is.
We're talking with Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. The Red Sox open up in just over 24 hours. One of the toughest things to do in sports in the last couple of decades has been to repeat after winning a World Series. What are the biggest challenges facing this Red Sox team and trying to even get back to the series?
Well, I think, again, it's the bullpen. And I know we talked about it a lot last year, Rich. And, hey, you know what? Good for the Sox in October and in the postseason, that bullpen came through. But part of that, remember, was the fact that they were using starters in the eighth inning. Nathan Eovaldi was coming out of the bullpen. David Price was coming out of the bullpen. You can't do that in a 162-game regular season. And now you don't have Craig Kimbrell. Now you don't have Joe Kelly. Now you seem to be even more thin in that bullpen. So I'm really interested to see how they close out games this year, because you don't have a fireballing closer like you did. It's going to be, we don't even know. They haven't really even named it yet, but it may be Matt Barnes, it may be Ryan Brazier, who have been your setup men, and now they're going to be thrust into the closer's role. So that, to me, is, and you know, maybe you get to the postseason and maybe things work out again, but, you know, winning 108 games, whatever, you have to get through the regular season first, and I'm really interested to see how this bullpen holds up and if they add to it in July at some point or before that, because, you know, I know we talked about it a lot last year and it came through, but, you know, still, you lost some names there. So I'm really interested to see what happens there, because I think your lineup is still going to be good, and I still think that your pitching rotation, now with Nathan Eovaldi in for a full season, I think your pitching rotation is going to be good too. It's the bullpen. That's what I look at.
It sounds like they've got a lot of confidence in Rafael Devers taking a step up. It seems like he'll hit out of the three hole this year. Is he ready to make that great leap forward with talent?
We're going to find out. We're going to find out soon. I like the confidence in the kid, and I like having a lefty in that three spot with JD Martinez as your cleanup guy. I really like the switch in the lineup, and having him sandwiched between Mookie Betts and JD Martinez too, that's going to give him a lot of opportunity. You know, it's going to be tough to pitch around the top half of the order for the Red Sox. I mean, it's because there's just a lot of talent there, and there's a lot of guys that can hit. And now that puts a guy like Bogart at like fifth or sixth, and that's a guy that can hit too. So the top like five or six in your order is really, really good. And so having Devers in there, I think he's going to get some opportunities to drive guys in and drive in some runs. And guys can't, again, they're going to pitch to him because trying to pitch around him. Okay, so you pitch around Rafael Devers. Now you have to deal with JD Martinez. Like this is a really formidable lineup. So that's going to be fun to watch, watching the Sox hit again this year, because, you know, especially if Devers takes a step forward here. Remember how young he is. If he takes a step forward, you're even better. So, I like him in the three spot, and I'm interested to see how he does.
Do you like the move they made at catcher?
Yeah, I think so. I think Blake Swihart has proven himself, it sounds like. And nobody picked up Sandy Leone off waivers.
Right.
So he's going to go to Pawtucket. And that means he's sticking around, at least for now. And, I mean, what better guy to have down there than an experienced catcher that's been on your major league roster? You know, if you have to bring him up at some point, if there's an injury, something like that, that's a great guy to have down there. And so I like that, the fact that they've done what they've done here. And they really, I think Blake Swihart has waited long enough, and he's a talented kid who can hit at the catching spot. So if he can handle this pitching staff the way Sandy Leone seems to do with some of these guys, then if you got the confidence there, you like it. So, yeah, I like the move.
Do you think the Yankees, at least going in, are the better team on paper?
You know, that's tough to say, because I like the Red Sox pitching staff in terms of the starting rotation over the Yankees. The bullpen, I think, is a different story. And I think your lineup is right there with them. The Yankees have power, but you've got some power too, and you've got guys that can hit for average. So it's close. It's really close, but I'd say give me the Sox starting rotation, and that's where you start. And if you have a good starting rotation like the Sox do, then you feel pretty good. So, I don't know. On paper, I still think the Red Sox are maybe a little better. I do.
I'm with you on that, because I still think there are things about that Yankee bullpen, starting with Aroldis Chapman, that are pretty suspect.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, I would on paper take the Yankee bullpen maybe right now over the Red Sox.
Oh, sure, sure.
Because there's a lot of questions. But you're right. You're definitely right, Rich. It's not as good as maybe I'm making it out to be right now. But again, you got to get to the bullpen, and the starting rotation obviously is, you know, it's got some question marks, some health issues there for the Yankees going in. So you feel pretty good about what the Red Sox have there. And, you know, during the regular season, at least, that's going to look pretty good.
I was a big fan of Terry Francona, but boy, it sure seems like Alex Cora was the right man at the right time for this team.
Huge. Oh, yeah. He's just, what a likable guy, an honest guy, sometimes maybe too honest. And I really like, he doesn't, there's no, you know, sugarcoating things, and he just is straightforward with things. I really, and if you're a media member and you cover this guy, he's just likable. He's likable. Things don't really seem to faze him. He doesn't take it too seriously. He always seems to slip in the fact, like, you know, oh, I was changing diapers for my kids this morning, and now I get to come and manage a baseball game. Like, he doesn't take it too seriously. It's his job, but, you know, he knows that there's other things in life besides the game, and that really hits home. And what I really like, too, is his message going into this year. It's not one of those Bill Belichick, you know, we're moving forward sort of thing. we're gonna continue what we built last year. We won the World Series. We won 108 games. Like, we're going to continue that. We're going to continue that kind of success. And I look at that and I say, that's an honest guy. He's not like, put everything in the past. Why? Why put everything in the past when he had so much success? Build off of it. Keep going. Especially for a team that wants to repeat as World Series champions. I love that message. So, yeah, Alex Cora really has been a tremendous hire, and I'm interested to see what happens in year two here.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Nick Coit, ABC6 in Providence. Nick, always good talking with you. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
A pleasure, Rich, as always. And tell Bruce and tell Ryan I say hi as well.
Hey, we'll see you next.
Hello.
Bye, guys. Take
care. Thanks, Nick.